Yeah. So we are talking about equip for the work of ministry. Now, we've underscored that all of us sitting here, we have ministry. And you who is listening to this, you have a ministry. Ministry is not when people are only called to be in the pulpit where they preach and they minister by the Holy Spirit like some of us do. Ministry is everything of our lives, everything of who we are, and everything of what will ever become tomorrow. So somebody who is a driver, who believes that and knows very well and believes that he is called into that space, that is a calling. That is his ministry. He, through that service, will serve many generations and bring them to locations and places in comfort and in safety. And there can be one of such, but who also have multiple giftings and callings. So we can take a guy like Endless, for example. He has engineering knowledge concerning computers. However, in seven people through that engineering capacity, he is able to minister to these people and bring comfort, and not too far off. Even me, when I've had issues with laptops and all, with his expertise, he's brought me comfort. Not just me alone, he brought me comfort, he brought me joy. And with that expertise, I've been able to extend my ministration. So you can see one's calling, one's gifting, how it dovetails or connects to another and brings grace to many people. So I'm able to now sit back, grab my computer, develop presentations, and get out there and speak to people and minister to people on varied levels. Now, the same gentleman has a gift of music as well. So I have this technicality skills as well. So it is important that all of us, we begin to put a finger on the giftings and the callings that we have, and to begin to live the purpose of God for those calls. I just made a statement. I said, discover the giftings and the callings and live the purpose of God through those callings. The purpose of God in several ways will be expressed in you through those callings that you have in your lives. Correct? So today, without much ado, let me talk about the nature of the call. The nature, the context and the nature of the call is what we've been talking about. Under equipped for the work of ministry. So today, let me talk about the components or the componential nature of the call. So let's talk about the components. If we look at the nature of the call, what are the things that make up the nature of the call? What are the things? So, and if you understand these things, it will help you. Number one, without the way I'm tired, I just have to go straight into the teaching. Number one component of the call is what we call a command. Now, I want us to be a bit interactive, and I want you to carry this thing with you wherever you go. Nobody is truly called by God where it is like, Sammy, please, can you just come and be playing this keyboard? Because me, God, I put a call on you as one who can play keyboard. But you see, Sammy, the way you are doing it, you have to do it. Sammy, I beg you, you know, Sammy, can you? I wish all the people who play for us and the people who listen to us were all sitting here today. So that people can change the way they have now traded their calling and giftings for small kwacha, for small money. Look, charity is now. Just that statement, the call, one of the components of the nature of your calling is a command. It is not, Albert, I beg you, can you Albert, can you lead a prayer this morning? I beg you. Endless. You see, the way that is not a conversation between you and God. Look, if people begin to understand, this meeting will not be empty. If people will move away from chasing prophecy and look, we walk in miracles naturally. We'll sit in our meetings and miracles are happening. If people will begin to understand the design of God's work, Isaiah chapter 5. Let me start from there. Let me say this thing and say it well, because thankfully we are recording this and it will go out. It will save many generations. The system is constantly getting polluted. The landscape of ministry. If I say ministry, name it from music, preaching, and everything is becoming polluted. I have preached at places. When I finished preaching, they gave me a letter and said, thank you. No money. Did I go back again? Yes, I went back. We have gone places with me in Ashima here, where I went to preach. I didn't have money to give to this Liberian guy. I've forgotten his name. The Liberian guy who is a footballer, who was Daniel's friend. David. I didn't have money to give to David. David wants to travel back to Liberia. And I didn't have money to give to David. Is it my responsibility to give money to David? No. Is it my responsibility to give money to David? Yes. Because I understand the place of my call. I can say, no, it's not my responsibility. But because I understand the place of my call, I have to give money to David. And I remembered, I told David, I said, David, I don't have money, but this is what we're going to do. I'm going to preach somewhere. After I finish preaching, whatever they give to me, I'm going to give to you. So when they gave me the money, I never opened. You were sitting in the car with me, and I gave the money to David. I gave the envelope. I don't know how much is in it. I don't know how David got to Liberia. I've preached at a place when they gave me an envelope. The same place. They gave me an envelope. When I opened the envelope, I was standing at General Hospital Junction. When I opened the envelope, it was 20 Ghana cedis. Yeah. It was 5 cedi. It was 2 CD and 5 CD. When I opened it, it was 20 Ghana cedis. If I don't tell you, you will not know. So I have to tell you so that you make up your mind, Prekun. Whether you do this work or not do it, you have to make up your mind. I used to lead worship in my former church many, many, many years ago. I used to lead worship. I led worship consistently for 10 years. Nobody paid me a dime. Then the church said they should be giving us some allowances every month. Do you know what I did? We're three friends. We sell these allowances. We were not working. We didn't have any other thing to do. So these allowances, when we took it one or two, we said, it doesn't feel well. These allowances taking doesn't feel well. So we said, now these allowances, give this amount to this person, put this one here and do that. And we disassociated ourselves from the allowances. As to whether they are continuing to give that allowances today to the people we ask that they give, I don't know. And how long did they continue giving the allowances and they stop? I don't know. Listen, we need a generation, a breed without greed. We need a generation that is devoted to what is called the call of God. Sometimes you would look at what you have, and Bible says it's not wise. We are it's foolish to compare ourselves to others. And you will look at other people, what they have, and how people are all corralled around them and dedicated to the work and serving. And such people, even gathered in such a place, are giving nothing, but they are committed. In fact, this morning I was playing a video and my wife said, oh, this church thing have changed? And I said, why? He said, now it is not the people giving to the church. It is not the church rather carrying and going to give to the church. That's the video I was playing. This morning, it's rather the church that is not carrying. And it's not wrong. But you see, there's a way we truncate the blessing of God. There's a way we limit the dimension of the power of God. Yes, there are needies and the widows among us who need to be taken care of. But those are the needy and the widows. How about where the scripture says, and even how did they gather together to give to the needy and the widows? And how was that administrated? The Bible says that there was no one among them who lacked. People sold their houses and their properties, lands and whatever, and they brought it and they said, let's all share in this. And if that is true of the church in the first instance, then we have to do something. Oh, Charity, what do you think? We have to do something. So today there is a great concern where people no longer are passionate about really serving God and understanding the nature of their call and fulfilling God and living their purpose and fulfilling their purpose for God out of their call. We have become dwarfed. We are limited. We become self-seeking. In Isaiah chapter 5, the verse 12, which is one of my favorites in scripture, it says, the harp and the strings, the tambourine and flutes and wine are in their feast, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operations of his hand. They consider the operation of his hand. So literally, we are seeing a generation that is not seeing the wonders of God. Two, we are seeing a generation that is not observant anymore. We allow serious spiritual matters to slip by us. We allow moves of the Spirit of God to slip by us simply because we are not paying attention. We are not giving to. We are not sold out. We are not investigating enough. We are short-tempered. We are quick-tempered. We are check-check. Fried rice. Quick. Fast. Everything is fast. And very soon, I don't know how what the world will look like. Everything is quick, short, fast. We are not long-lasting. If we understand that the call of God is a sermon and not God begging us, it changes the way you think. So many scriptures are just running through my mind. If you understand that the call of God is a summons, what is a command? A command is a summons. Jesus spoke to the disciples and says, follow me. Elisha had Elijah threw his mantle on him, and he understood the technology. The first thing he did was destroy the yoke, the oxen, kill the oxen and sacrifice it. Do you know the statement he's making? I'm not returning to this business again. But if I have to return to this business, I need to buy a new ox. I need to build a new yoke. I need to build a new machine to be able to grade a farm. And he went home to tell the family, bye-bye. And killed the oxen to clearly say that I will no longer trust in my strength. Come on. You know where the scripture is? In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah goes throwing his mantle on Elisha. And Elisha goes killing his oxen. The Bible says that where the oxen is in the book of Proverbs, I don't have it readily, but if you can, you can Google it. It says where the oxen is, there is much work and there is much productivity, yet it makes the stable dirty. So the oxen is a symbol of strength, or the ox is a symbol of strength. The ox is a symbol of my enterprise. My, me, everything about me. The oxen is about I can do by myself. And when the salmon comes, our attitude must be right. So the first thing, I'm just touching on this briefly. We can discuss it much later. The call of God, the components of the nature of the call of God is that it's a command. It is not a beggarly approach from God seeking to use our money. It is a demand, a summons from, it's like a court summons that demands that you appear. If you do not appear, what happens to you? If you do not appear in court, what happens to you? Oh, you don't know. Charity, if they summon you, Checo, if they summon you to come to court and they brought a letter and they come to your house and they meet you and then they deliver the letter to you and then they leave, whether you read it or not, you have been summoned. And if you don't show up in court, what happens? They will either make a judgment without you, or the court, the judge, will issue a bench warrant. You will be carried. If you were wearing shorts, I'll tell you a story. One morning, I was going to work. Those days, with me and my colleague, we didn't have a car, so we had to join one guy early morning around 6 a.m. so that we can go to work. And I think the guy works at the airport. So we were alight at Shangri-La and then we pick a car from there and then we go. So, you see, Masalachi, Makola Market. So Makola Market, when you go, you see that you have to negotiate. Charity don't know where Makola Market, I'll explain. You have to negotiate like this. If you're on a new town road, official town road, you know official town road. We don't know official town road, from KKN. From Albert's office, Ashma. So you see that road straight. It goes to join the Kwanaso Road, right? Have you realized that on that road straight, as if you are going to get to the end, there's a Masalachi there. You have to turn like this. The road is, that place is always rough. I don't know what is there. No, I don't know. This one, let's underscore. That one, let's discuss it later. I don't know what is there. The place, whatever you do to the place, I don't know what is there. I don't know if there are some shrines. But by the way, now you see that cave. So we just came out of the cave and we saw two policemen arresting a guy, and the guy had a cloth around. Whether you are wearing trousers or whether you will be carried. The call of God. You want to be disobedient? It will arrest you. You are like Jonah. You are disobedient and you are chasing after your own passion. The call of God will bring you to where you ought to be. It's a summon. Now, if it's a summon, nobody owes you. Can we address this issue? Maybe I'll just touch on, there are about 5 points I'll touch on next week. Next week we say we don't have church service. I wish it was next week I'm teaching this thing and they are all here. Sammy, what do you think? The call of God, you owe nobody, and nobody owes you. You have a duty to serve God. You have a duty, you have a commitment to discipline yourself and perfect your acts. Where people now believe they have a call, and now they have to now lay you ransom, And why is it that he will not allow me to? Why is it that and this and that? And now I have to do it like this. And you know, then you realize that people don't understand. Now, there's so many technicalities we can discuss. That the fulfillment of the call and the expression of the call will have to find sometimes its way among a community. Now, how do you relate and live in that community, even though it's your gift? Me, it is my gift. Whatever I like, I will do. You don't understand the call. You don't understand. You don't know. You know, so today we have a bunch of disobedient street kids who are carrying themselves. Some of them are preachers. Some of them are musicians. Some of them are instrumentalists. Some of them are church workers. And they are disobedient. They don't know how to take instruction because, it's my call. But the gift is my gift. It's me who prophesy. But what are you talking about? It is my gift. Who told you it's your gift? Bible says in John chapter 1, the verse 6, it says there was a man. What did he say? There was an angel. No, there was a man who was sent from God and his name was John. This John means gifts. If you believe you are called by God, charity, wahala. If you believe you are called by God, you are a gift to humanity. Sometimes you can be abused. Sometimes you can be insulted. Sometimes things do not go the way you want. You may serve under leaders and help me. One of my friends went to handle pornography. Listen to this matter. One of my friend, preacher, prophet, went to handle pornography. Is it my case?
No.
When Adam was a child, he would say, for you, concern you. Where does this thing concern me? Then the issue came out. It was me, when I saw the situation, it was me who took the pornography and tied it up. And the day they asked me to bring the thing, if you saw the way the thing was tied, you know the thing has been tied from Titipanyo. Nobody opened. I don't even have a deck in my house to put that CD and watch. Then charity. It is my gift to me to have a gift of prophecy. Me to I'm a preacher. And me too, I sing and lead worship. Then they said they would discipline us. Then they wrote 3-page letter. My friend went to handle something. They wrote me, my friend. As for my friend, they disciplined him and gave me how many years? Like 3 years or 2 years not to preach. Cancel every invitation. Me, they gave me 1 year. Why? Because I handled the thing. And I knew about it, but I didn't talk. What am I going to do con concern? Albert, it's a serious matter. So the church elders came together. Hey, my church elders, they are strong. It's not like here when people can swear. My church, when they band together on you, they have banded on you. When they band, you can be their favorites. You are on your own. Hey, they wrote me a letter, giving me 1 year suspension. 1 year suspension. And they said, one, you have every right to reject and cancel every ministering appointment that you have in locally and internationally. Oh yeah, over to you. Number two, you will not be the main worship leader for the next 1 year. You have to be a backing vocalist. Then I said, no. Since you have suspended me, it is as good as being suspended from everything. So even the backing vocalist, I will know. In fact, let me say this. I know go do. Do you know what they asked me? They said, you, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are of your own? You cannot say, you have to submit to authority. My gift, oh, my own abilities, I'm being asked to submit to authority. People don't understand what is called command. The Bible says go. And if you study the Greek, should I tell you the Greek meaning? Are you ready to write? Go means go. It's a command. Charity. If our people, imagine I suspend somebody here. Look at that situation. Abbott, me, I didn't join you to go and you and your fiancé to go and do your own thing. You, Charity is laughing. You and if Bernard was here, he will bury his head in this ground. You and your fiancé, you went to do your own thing. I wasn't there. I didn't give you moral support. Then something happened. The fiancé prayed. Now, you came to tell me the thing, and I said, oh, wait, my wife is traveling. When she comes, we're going to sit down. Then you get angry. Me, if me prayed the girl, no. So what is my point, problem? People don't understand command. When they say sit down, they say, I'm actually sitting down, but I'm actually standing. I'm sitting, but actually I am standing. A bunch of disobedient generation who do not know how to take instruction and take command. Me, I have been a man who have gone through discipline. They say, sit down. As uncomfortable as it is, no ministry for 1 year. I sat down. Even after the expiration, there's a 1 year suspension. After the expiration, I had to sit down until the elders came together and told me that now you can, you're a free man. People cannot be very anointed and still sit cool. It must be possible for people to be very, very anointed, hot, powerful, being sought all over the globe, but sitting. Jesus says, my time have not come. We don't understand the calling, the component that is a command. When it is a command, it demands everything that you have. It demands all your attention. It demands all your money. It demands all your finances. It demands everything in your pocket. How can one be doing this thing with my wife every time we're doing all of these things? Look at Abbe, sometimes he would use his own money to do stuff for this place. People have to understand command. I'll use my own money to do things. Even this coming Sunday, Charity, we will use our own money again to do things. Charity every month will be blessing me. And she understands where that thing occupies for her. We don't understand command. If we understand the calling, you don't go and beg somebody to come to church. I sent somebody, Abbott, I told you to call somebody. The other day we were driving, when we're coming from Accra, you forgotten? When you came to pick me and we're coming from Accra, you remember? I said there's somebody you should call. People should call her. It does not click. Some B name. Oh, Abbott, you are not living according to the command. Oh, you forgotten? I said there's one lady, she's not been in church. You have to call her. All of you should. You got it? Now, so I was there. Last Sunday, I wasn't in church. So Saturday, I sent her a message. Very late, I saw her. She responded. Then I said, I'm going to call you tomorrow. And I called her next day, she didn't pick. Yeah. And she has not returned the call till now. You see, because people don't understand the nature of the calling, people think that coming to a church service where there are 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people sitting, 20 people, is a burden. It's not a big church enough. You don't understand the nature of your calling. You don't understand where you are occupied. Then me, I shouldn't be teaching this thing. I should wait and teach it to pastors. I should wait when I'm now ready and I have gathered, when I am 80 and when I'm 120 and I'm now walking like this, then I'll be telling people the component of the call is command. Who told you? I will teach it now. Samuel laughing. I will teach it now.
If they tell me that the world is ending tomorrow, I'll still preach my best message today. I will plant that seed today. I am under command. So, look, I told you I was tired, right? But as I started talking, I just feel some grace coming upon me. One moment, I just feel like somebody injected me with a shot of energy. Boom. And I felt so strong. Hallelujah. Look, when I stood there, I doubted if I can last there for 30 minutes. I was struggling in my body few minutes ago. Obedience to the command saves you. The call will place, as a command, it will place demand on your finances. Yeah, it's not your money. The Bible says in Psalm 24, the verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all that is in it, including the human beings, the hippopotamus, everything, the trees, everything belongs to God. When you have a call, go and write a song on Master Owner. There's a teaching I did last year online. Master Owner, Kingdom Laws. I did a teaching on Kingdom Laws and Principles or something. Master Owner. If you understand the law of Master Owner, you know you own nothing. And therefore, when they say, Abraham, Genesis 22, Charity, write it. Genesis 22, go and sacrifice your son. You understand command? And he goes to the mountains to sacrifice Isaac, his only begotten son. And the two of them walk. And Isaac was at some point confused. He said, Papa, it's normal now. Sometimes people are, bro, Charlie, why are the people not coming to church? Papa, here is the wood. Papa Abraham, you see the microphone and the speakers and the air conditioning. But the people are not coming. Which one are we going to use for the sacrifice now? Oh, Charity, is it not true? That is Bible now. Isaac said, Papa, here is the wood and the fire. And Sammy is stoking the fire. Can you imagine? And then Albert is standing and saying, Manda basha baba rababada. And David is mixing everything. And he said, ah, but the wood and the fire are already. Where are the people? See how the pain of the call. If you're not careful, you become discouraged in life. If you're not careful, you will give up on your own self. If you're not careful, you'll join your own critics to begin to criticize yourself. Bible says the righteous shall fall what? Seven times. And he shall rise again seven times. So long as our Lord lives, I declare that you and I will have victories upon victories. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 82, it says that they shall, blessed are those whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They shall go through the valley of Baca, and they shall turn it into a pool, and each of them shall appear before the Lord in glory. The valley of Baca is a hard and a difficult place of life, but for the call, their heart is locked on a journey. The call is a summon. If you're a military man and you understand the sound of ascent, the sound of gathering, even if you were on the third level gear in the bosom of your wife, you will get out because you understand the command. It said, let the bridegroom get out, let everybody beat his plowshares into pruning hooks. The call, command. If we have a generation that will understand what command is, a lot of foolishness will cease among us. No people who will bluff you. We will march into our environment and you realize that everything is information because we understand our place. I understand that this thing, necessity is laid on me. Necessity is laid on me. Let me tell you something about the call, okay? Find this scripture for me. Abba, find this scripture for me quickly. I know it's in two places in the Old Testament. When the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. And I want you to write it down. I want you to keep that scripture. I want to mention it. I will not read it. First Kings chapter 10. From which verse? Verse baby ho.
I won't trade you for silver or gold. I won't trade you for riches untold.
The Lord is speaking to me about this thing, eh?
You are this way. You are my everything. I won't trade you for riches untold. Yeah. I won't trade you. You are my everything.
One, when the queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, observe something. There was something called formation. Everybody was standing in their order, their rank. When God came down, when Solomon and his people worshiped, everybody stood in their rank and in their calling and performed. The glory of God fell. You want to see miracles? Let's return to the sermon. Bible says that there was no longer spirit in the queen of Sheba. Why? When he saw the order. When we begin to obey the commander's divine order, you will not call and then Kofi already knows that my duty in the meeting is this. Abina knows that I have to be in formation. This one knows that this have to be in place. But because we have a people who do not understand the nature of the call, and I think they understand, but it's just disobedient. You know why? Would they do that in their office? Would they allow their bosses to repeat the same thing to them twice? We have a problem. The church has been misused. Let me touch on the second one. This one, I'm just discussing some few things. The call. Another component of the call is recognition. Another component of the nature of the call. If you see anybody call, the call brings about recognition. It brings about receptivity. You understand? It brings about what? Receptivity. Now, in talking about receptivity, I'm going back to John chapter 1, the verse 6. And sometimes there is a call, but then there is also rejection. You understand that one? There is a call. The man is called, the woman is called, the man is sent to a group of people. But the same people he sent to, they reject him. Jesus. He is a typical example. He is sent to the house, the lost sheep of Israel. But when he arrived, they had a different expectation because maybe his nose was too long than the Jesus they expected. Than the Jesus they expected his nose. They said, no. This is not the Jesus we saw. This one, his nose is too long. This one, why should he come from an Ewe tribe? But this one, why should he be an Ashanti? And why should it be that God will anoint such an Ewe man or Ewe woman with such great grace? Why would God anoint such a fancy boy with such an anointing in the prophetic? Why would God anoint that Dangbe boy? Why? I don't like Dangbe's. I don't like Dangbe's. I saw a video this morning. I saw there's a word I want to remember. I saw a video this morning, and you know this is it joke or seriousness? I don't know. This matchmaking they've been doing. Then one guy will go, and the girls will hold balloon, and then they'll be besting and all of that. I want to go somewhere. So you know what I saw in the video? Have you seen that video? Oh, you not seen? So the one girl standing there, about three girls, and said, okay, I don't know what they say. I can't remember what they say, but they will say something then. If the girl likes the guy, will not burst the balloon.
Then he'll question the girl, "Oh, why didn't you burst your balloon?" And so he's handsome, he's this and that. And three girls, he said, three or four girls, the first one bested the balloon. They said, "Why?" He said, "I don't like airways." Why? Because they like juju too much. So you. Oh, well, so one guy gave to Rose, he said, "Asoto." That is the word I want to remember. The guy on social media, he's insulting the girls. All the three girls say they don't like Ewe. And the first one says they like juju. And then they ask, have you seen it with your eyes? He said, "No, I've heard." I don't like God. I'm dealing with the issue of recognition and receptivity. And inside recognition, we cannot finish this thing, huh? This is deep matters. When you discuss this thing in certain circles, that church will break, crack. Because they don't regard, among all the big leaders in that community, they don't regard the fact that the call, the latest apostolic anointing has fallen on this man. And this man is insignificant enough. And after all, we know him. He's a man that comes from juju background, you know, something like that. He's a man, he's a failure. He has struggled in his marriage. Why should we put a call on him? No recognition. Sometimes wives, husbands, despise their partners because they see their nakedness, forgetting that the man, according to John chapter 1, is God's elect. It says there was a man. It didn't say there was an angel. When you were marrying him with a call or whether without a call, you have to know that he is a man. He has anger problem. He does foolishness. He can misbehave. He has limitations and failures. And so somebody will leave a community like this place because he said, he didn't come to look for me. No, that's not recognition. He didn't come to look for me. When I was crying, he didn't cry with me. Ah, we all cannot cry like that, oh. Cry. We will associate with you. We'll try. If we fake it, okay. See, there was a man. His name was John. He said there was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. So you see, when God calls a man, number one, he is a gift to the world. Number two, if I say gift to the world, it's a gift to humanity. Number two, he is a gift to specific people. Number three, for recognition, the people have to embrace and receive that gift. Sometimes the wrap around the gift may not be what you like, but that thing carries an anointing and a grace. And if you can be patient enough and learn to listen to the voice and discern the word of God through that man, I tell you, that man may not even have a prophetic anointing, but just his words over you, his covering over you, changes your life.
Yeah.
Listen, if we can begin to change, today's generation, we are too much of Ashawo Christianity. One of my friends' mother, that is what, he's late now. He says, "Mark, the thing people are doing, I don't like it. This Ashawo Christianity people have been doing. You get up, you go to..." Ashawo Christianity simply means for her. We are, because he raised the son in Presby. So he expects his son to just remain, but only for him to now see the son says, "Mommy, I'm going to program somewhere and come." He says, "We are shallow Christians. We are roaming too much." And there's too much of Ashawo Christianity, truly Ashawo Christianity, because the people have become selective. It is like you can go to the show and say, "Oh, okay, I like this biscuit. I don't like this biscuit. This Pastor Mark style of preaching, too much blefo and too much English. I don't understand." And I ask some people, I say, you are educated, you have first degree. You say you don't understand what I'm saying. The person who is sitting there did not even have first degree. He understands these things. What kind of spirit do you have? Hey, listen, if we don't learn, this thing is a grace. So one day, if people do not learn to recognize and accept and embrace it, accepting and recognizing means relationship also. I can't deal with this thing. So people just, "Let me come and put this mango fruit. Oh, this one is ripe. Hey, pick this one for me. Pick that one. Pick that." Then They are gone. Selfish Christianity. They don't think of designing a relationship with the man or the woman, the mango tree they are bringing fruits from. No relationship. It's me, my own money, my own gift. They don't think about relationship. When God gives a man, that man is a gift to everybody. But that man is also given to a specific people. So Jesus is a gift to the whole world. However, he was sent to, and his own people rejected him. I mean, in John chapter 1, they rejected him. He was sent to, he was the light of the world, sent to the lost, and they rejected him. And then the Bible said there was a man who was sent from God, and his name is John. Now, he is a man. All the humanness that accompanies, that embodies man is with him. He goes to the shower, he pulls like everybody, he gets angry, gets frustrated with he wakes up and the water is out, and he is frustrated like everybody. But you see, if you can begin to look, accept his, not just look, accept his humanness, and look beyond his humanness and accept the gift of God, that is where the Bible says, that is where my teaching, the reward of the prophet, now comes into play. The Bible says that he who received you has received, he who sent you. It's a package. It's a package of humanness plus divineness inside one vessel. There was a man sent from God. I mean, God is not crazy to take a human being and say they are sent it to humanity. And then you believe that the call of God should be in a particular design, so the man is not fitting up. Go and look for a different pastor who fits into that for you. And don't create problems in that place. You see, people do not understand. So today we have a bunch of generation who do cherry picking. What is teaching today? Today, I've watched the weather. What he would teach, I don't like it. I will not go to service. There's a way the grace of God works. Friday, I shared a testimony of grace. Grace, I never prayed any special prayer for grace. Oh. Now, his husband is Dr. Tio's wife. I never prayed any special prayer for him, for them. When we're in a small room, Tio will come to me after church. He will go to church, can come to me. He has accepted me, recognized me. He needed something. That is on me, that to do something. He said, Tio just started coming to me and talking to me and opening his heart. And I embrace him too. When a man is released, sent from God, a man, I will not talk about an angel, I will not talk about a prophet, no, I will not talk about an apostle, a man sent from God, he is first of all a man before there is a calling. He can make mistakes. So do apostles make mistakes? Yes, they make mistakes. Till came, we got talking. I said, bring your wife. The guy is, unawai, ha, ha, ha. I said, bring your wife. So he connected a wife. And before he connected a wife, he said, I've gotten a scholarship, school I've started. I don't know if, I said, Master, put the application to American Embassy quickly and go. Write to Gimpa and tell them you are going. He said, I don't know if they will pay my man. I said, write and go. If you both die, you should die. You go hungry and go. Man sent from God is talking to you. You are the, so Tio quickly put in the application to American Embassy. In less than 1 month, they released a visa for him. Tickets, giddy. He left. Today, I'm very sure Tio is forever grateful. Sometimes in a long time, he will just be there. He will send me some money. The other day, he sent me some money. Visa, I bet I didn't give you some. Yeah, he sent me some money. The other time, he sent me some money like that. He's supposed to buy us a mixer board, a digital mixer board. He said, he gave me an update, Abbott. He said, when he checked his credit score, they said his credit score is not up to that level of purchase here, so he has to pay outright. So I sent him a message. I said, we'll work it out. We'll look for the funds. We'll buy it. We need to buy it. We need to move from analog. So we'll buy it. However, we'll buy it. But this is what I mean to say. So Grace started coming around. When Grace came around, I said, Grace, we have a program. We're having a program. Is it Next Level or something? I said, Grace, come to the program. And he had a baby then. The child was just a baby. She came. She came all through. Then I had this Michael and the wife coming with their small car. And I said, come on. Michael, when you're going home, you push your drop it. She's in your neighborhood. And consistently that happened, and Grace got connected. And during COVID, we were online praying, and I never said any specific prayer over Grace. But he said that is when something shifted in the marriage. He said, only new chrome to me monk for consistency. You see, why am I saying this? Recognition. Recognition. And recognition is a continuous thing. It's not that today I recognize, then now I become so big, then I cannot recognize. You have to learn. That is why recognition has a relational component to it. Recognition is not about acknowledging this great man of God, but there has to be relationship. And in that relationship, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7. The lesser is blessed by the greater. So you stay around the covering of the person, suddenly this grace begins to minister to you. This grace begins to work in your life. This ability begins to remove certain attacks from your world. And you see, this is where we miss it, because we sometimes think it is our praying. We think it's our fasting. We think it's our own abilities that is giving us all that we have. Yes, your abilities and your praying, your fasting. But there is a certain covering that is over you that is actually doing stuff for you which you do not recognize. That is why recognition is a big thing. The Bible says in First Corinthians chapter 5, which scripture says that we are the ambassadors of Christ, something. Is it First Corinthians chapter 5? The verse 14 or 15, it says that henceforth we know no one after whom the flesh. There was a man, but henceforth, if Bernard walks with me and Bernard thinks that, ask Bernard the day I went fighting over my land. I didn't even see him standing there. I didn't even know he was around me. Share! I'm behaving like a mad person. Then I said, oh, take video. Then he's using. I said, Bernard, you're not doing a thing well. What do you mean? Is this our church? Oh, we have a battlefront. Then, what's that? 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says what?
So from now,
we regard no one from a worldly point of view. So, though once we regarded Christ in this way,
we do so no longer.
Another translation says that henceforth we know no one after the flesh. So, recognition is a maturity concept in your calling. If not, you cannot relate to your leader.
Every day he's blasting me. I'm going to lead worship, and I'm just giving short exhortation. 5 minutes, go and do you. Then my pastor, who is standing downstairs, when worship is going, he goes to stand downstairs, and when you're coming, you welcome. And when people are coming up, he's welcoming them. I'm giving small exhortation. I'm into my time now. I'm into my anointing now. It's a time for me to also put my skills. I say, Master, shut down that skills and start leading worship. And stop talking and start leading. Tell him to stop that. Look at the English. That thing he's doing over there. I feel like dropping the microphone and leaving the church. You see, but you have to learn recognition. Because recognition, I'm saying so many things. Recognition, there's relational component. Recognition looks beyond the flesh. It is accepting the man's humanity and embracing divinity loaded in man. So he's a man. God knows he's a man, but he sent him from heaven. He's not ordinary. She's not ordinary. That preacher is not ordinary. That brother playing the keyboard is not ordinary. He is a man sent from God. and recognition. Has in it what we call ranking. I'm touching this matter on different sides. It has something you call what? Ranking. Yes. Let me look for this scripture for you. There's something about David and his people. Let me. I have a very nice short quote.
Oh, be lifted above all other gods. We lay our crowns and worship you.
Listen to this. David and his mighty men were a company of equals. This is one of my quotes. David and his mighty men were a company of equals. They celebrated each other. No competition. Yet, they understood ranking. Oh, that the church will understand some of these things. Do you understand me? David was the leader. He had mighty men around him. Some killed this, some controlled this, some does this. But this David and his mighty men continue even to celebrate each other. You are a great guy. You are a great warrior. Ah, your gift is so powerful. Yet, they do not make mistake who is the leader. So on one occasion, even David was making mistake. It was Joab who went to David, and David says, go and number the people. And Joab says, king, is this thing really necessary? Okay, go and number them. And he moves, ranking. Recognition involves something we call receptivity. Ranking. People have to learn to walk in rank. Formation. If we do not learn how to walk in rank, I will rebuke you and you will be forever angry and never want to be part of the company.
Ranking.
In the office, something happened. One of my juniors is supposed to do something so that my boss can sign. He didn't do the thing on time. Then look at it. Look at this. People, you have to be very careful. You have to know how to work with leaders. My boss, I can sit with my boss and he tells me anything. There are some things I can't tell you. And then, my junior sends the thing to my boss's home and my boss says, I will not sign. My boss says, I will not sign. My boss comes to the office and is asking my junior about, is there something I have to sign? My junior is trying to explain. He's trying to explain the thing. My boss says, I will not sign. This boss cry, what kind of boss is he? Sign, you will not sign. I bring the thing to your house, too, you don't go sign. Now, you see, I don't understand a lot of things, so when I look at some of our people, the way they carry themselves, the way they come to church meetings, the way they behave themselves. This message, when we've closed, put it on the platform. People must hear it. Even the devil, if the devil is on the platform, he must also listen to this preaching today. No, please, when we finish, Albert, copy, shrink it, put it on the platform. People must hear this. I don't understand how people make choices in terms of meetings. When meetings are designed to help you, somebody chooses, oh, this meeting, I'm not doing that one. I'm not. This one, you think we are selling wache beans and jollof? So you can, it's only beans. You have to eat it. That is all it is. We have to begin to appreciate. Look, if we don't appreciate the gift of God given to us, we lose it. That is why very often when we travel, when you see the prophetic manifestation, isn't it beautiful?
I mean, sometimes we go back to the hotel, and I am thinking to myself, wow, what a meeting it is. And then you come back to your own house, and because you all bath in the same bathroom, nobody respects you. Look, my wife, one day, I don't know if I told people here, I think I did. Two stories. My wife went with me to Latabi Okoshi. Kaya bako siki paka. Onwa ofebidiye. We went to Latabi Okoshi. I was ministering. My wife was sitting there. And she was checking me out, evaluating me. Is he a prophet? Is he a man of God? Is this one my husband? Or is another man? Hey, she's checking me out. I'm checking out. And I minister when we close. He said, when we get home, there's some book in the house in this place. There is some money. Go and take $100. I say, you for recognize. If I, when I go home right now, I'm going to tell her, you got to recognize me again. Yeah. The other day, she was with Becky Bonny. You know, Becky Bonny went to America. When Becky came back, I don't know how Becky came to her. Then my wife want to do nyanga, want to do bluffing. Guess whom I am with? If you're able to guess whom I am with, I'll give you 1,000 Ghana cedis. I said, I should guess. Okay, wait. Then I said, Holy Spirit. Whilst I was talking to the Holy Spirit, my wife says, hello. So when you post, hello. I said, I am here. I said, I am going to call the person who you are with right now. Then you will know. He said, no. I said, I'll call the person on the phone. I'm calling her right now. He said, no. I said, wait a minute. I said, you are with Becky. He said, no. I said, you have lost 1,000 Ghana cedis. That one you have lost. You should try again. You should just put 20,000 on it. I bet she will know something. Share. You think the Holy Spirit does not want to help his servant? You think you want to just... I heard you bet angel, the police can arrest him. Those days, they can arrest him and take him to a place and they'll blind him and say, who is the person who touched you? And you will mention your name. You will leave him to go home. Look. There has to be recognition. Oh, this one is a major prophet. My pastor is a major prophet. There are some prophets, they talk long. That is why they are called major. That's why their book is plenty. Some people talk short. That's why their book is small. Major and minor. Finish. The definition is that. When I see people doing major and major prophet, I laugh. Jeremiah, he likes talking plenty. His book is long. Habakkuk, short. You think you are major, you are minor. Recognition. If we understand these things, it will change. There's something called ranking. You know how to work with your leader. Your leader is not your equal. Your leader is not your... Somebody told me, said, my pastor is not my friend. I said, wow. I said, why did you say what you said? He said, I'm saying that my pastor is not my friend because I don't want to begin to relate to him as if he is my equal. He said, I don't want to relate to him as if he is my equal. I don't want to take things for granted. Maybe I will see some things around him and I'll begin to take him for granted. It takes maturity to walk inside recognition. Don't take anything for granted though. I heard there's this man of God. He's late. I hear he's called Prophet Odum. The man was sick of cancer. And when you go to visit, he's sitting on the floor. And he's sick. As you are opening the door, he's mentioning your name and giving you details. But his sickness killed him though. Is it not the same Elisha who was lying on a sick bed? And the Bible said this sickness was the sickness that led to the death of Elisha. And the king of Israel went and wept in his face and cried, my father, my father. Is it not the same Elisha? Falling, broken, sick. Yet anointed. Is it not the same man who gave direction? We have to be very careful. When things begin to happen in a man or a woman of God's life, we have to be very careful what we say. We have to reposition ourselves well. Recognition. Let me see. There's something I wrote here. Let me see if it can relate to this. Something is fundamentally wrong if a man or a woman starts shouting, "I am a man," or "I am a woman." So a leader does not need to emphasize his position. Leaders ranking properly establish. No, there's something missing here. You know, sometimes the note edits itself. But this is what I mean to say. You see, when you understand ranking, you don't go competing with your leader. You don't compete with your leader. Let me say something, Whoever will be angry should be angry. Not here. You see, what Sammy did among you guys, it's purely foolishness. Me, it was mommy who brought me and asked for you people. So he is literally setting confusion among the team. It got to a time when the team, you don't know what went on. Cha-cha. You better say cha-cha. Our better say cha-cha. When the guys come playing, they play for themselves. They don't play to back Sammy. So they are on their own. No understanding of ranking. So you realize that the ministry begins to go bright and great. And then because people have not given themselves to their call and understand the devotion, that even if Sammy is stepping on my foot and I'm hurting, I have a call and a duty that goes beyond me and Sammy. I have to release something beyond me. So I start fighting Sammy and I concentrate on Sammy and I play and sing to fight Sammy, forgetting that there is a wider cause, because the ministration is unto God, unto the people, and unto the man that is ministering. We forget these three levels. We forget totally. Three points. I may not emphasize it too much. Maybe next week we can go back into it so that I can close. We said a call has a nature call, or the components of the nature of the call is command, recognition, and then there's something called process. I think I'll not stress it so that next week we can, because the grace, there's a certain grace. I can feel the grace lifted. Or what do you feel in the spirit? No, if you're sensitive, what do you feel in the spirit? I can feel the grace lifted. Let me say, baby, you do know. Mota no akofomu ye. Until next week, the rapid. Oh, next week is worship. So what do we do? Do we teach all? While shepherds walk their flock by night, all seated on the ground. Yeah, next week I can just welcome everybody, and I said we have a call together, and this call is to worship, and then blah 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 blah. But we shall continue this. The call number three has a response. So it calls for specific action and activities. The call has something we call process. And lastly, the call has something we call utilization or functionality. I say God bless you, and the Lord show you his goodness. We shall return to this matter at the appropriate time. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.